Portrait of a Business with your host, Dolores Williams. Thank you for joining us. We're going to bring you the best and the brightest, the most innovative people to tell you their stories and possibly tell you how to do what they do. So stay tuned.
Are you ready for this?
Bring it.
Today's guest is Jeannie Dietrich, one of my favorites. She's the CEO of Armin & Dietrich, and she's also the mastermind behind Spin Sucks, one of the most innovative blogs there is out there on public relations. And we want to thank her for her time, and pay attention. She knows what she's talking about. Welcome, Jeannie Dietrich, to Portrait of a Business. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Del. It's so fun to talk to you.
I know, it is. I seem to have you. You're kind of like a regular now.
But, I love that.
Yes, but you have changed your course a little bit in what you're doing. Tell me about what you're doing with Armin & Dietrich now.
Well, a couple of things. Armin & Dietrich is now still a very client service focused, billable hour marketing communications company. Spin Sucks, which is the blog, is becoming a subscription-based model. So while we'll keep the content on the blog free, there will be behind the scenes, sort of behind Spin Sucks, a subscription model that you can pay to get Fortune 500 level marketing and communication expertise without the cost.
Nice. Now, you also do a podcast yourself.
I do. I
rubbed off on you because when I mentioned it, you said, no, never, blah, blah, blah.
I know.
And in a couple of weeks, here you are, Inside VR. How did that come about?
Well, my Canadian friends who I know through the industry, they've been doing it for, I think, 5 years. And a couple of the guys who started the podcast were ready to move on to something else. And so they called and said, we're looking for an American contingent, would you be interested? And I said, all right, sure. So it was already set up. All I have to do is show up and record my bit and I'm done. So it takes an hour a week instead of, you know, me trying to figure out how it all works. So, yeah, we do Inside PR every Wednesday.
Cool. Now, what has been – now, I know you're real popular on Spin Sucks and on Twitter, and I just see you everywhere on Facebook. We even met your mom through a video. You know.
I love my mom.
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
How is that? What is the strategy?
The strategy really has been to build a community of people who care about our business, who care about us and who want to work with us, so that when we do launch the subscription-based model, we have people who already trust us, already respect us, and want to work with us in some fashion.
Oh, okay. Now, for somebody else, now there has been a lot of, you know, okay, PR, the traditional PR is dead, and everybody's going social media and so forth. Do you find that to be true? Do people really still want traditional PR, or has it really gone on to where, you know, now your breaking news is you're sending your stuff out just on Twitter and Facebook fan pages and whatever?
No, I think there's still a place for traditional PR. I don't think that the news release is dead yet. I don't think that media relations is dead yet. I do think there's a big shift in who the influencers are. Bloggers, for instance, in some industries are more influential than trade publications or even some of the business magazines or public newspapers. So I don't think it's dead, but I do think there is an opportunity to integrate traditional and new to show real results.
Yeah, that makes sense. I know, like yesterday you were talking about how, you know, bloggers are becoming more influential. Well, yesterday, you know, AOL bought TechCrunch.
Right.
And rumor is they bought it for about $30 million.
Right.
That's pretty impressive. And stuff for the blogger to have that kind of weight, even though they have a bunch of blogs, but to have that kind of weight to command that kind of price from a leading place and stuff.
Well, so, I mean, think about it from the perspective of TechCrunch is a $10 million business. So if he's, I actually heard a number thrown out that was $40 million. So if it's $30 or $40 million, you're getting three or four times your value, which in today's age is pretty good, but, you know, during the dot-com bubble, he would have gotten 10 or 15 times his value.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm also curious about his strategy for doing that, because Arrington's always been really opposed to content seed companies, and AOL is definitely going to be doing that with his content. So I'm curious to see what happens, but you're absolutely right. I mean, he's the number two blog in the country, and to be able to sell it to a major corporation for even three times your value is pretty freaking amazing. I'd take $30 million.
Yeah, I wouldn't sniff at that either. So now, as you're expanding what you're doing and how you're doing it, do you see yourself doing live events or doing stuff like, which seems to be the trend now, where even though on the one hand people were saying that, okay, nobody's showing up in live events, they are, but I also see, keeping in the same vein, that you're also starting to do webinars.
We are starting to do webinars, and that's really to sort of test our audience to see if they'll pay for it. We also are doing paid ebooks, and people are paying for that. So these are tests, really, to see if we can get people to pay for our content, and if we can, then we know that the subscription-based model will work. My goal is to stay off of airplanes, because I travel a ton, and it really hampers my ability to run and grow a business. So my philosophy is to stay off of airplanes. So we'll be doing a lot of online events where we may do it for a full day, but we'll invite, you know, big speakers.
Oh, sorry.
Woo, right there.
Sorry.
So, yeah, I mean, we're going to use the technology to make us more efficient so that I don't have to get on an airplane and go places all the time.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that's also leveraging your content. I mean, it's much easier to reach the many than the few.
Right.
So it's also leveraging.
Absolutely.
Now, in terms of PR and stuff, how is, you know, I sent you a piece last week about Price Chopper.
Yes.
I sent you that piece where one of the PR guys got a little bit rogue,
rogue, yes.
And based on what he didn't consider was a compliment, but it wasn't a insult either, decided to call the person's employer to try to get him in trouble for what he posted. So very nine-year-old-ish, you know, I'm going to tell my mommy.
Exactly.
So do you think stuff like that hampers your community, makes it look, what does that do to your community?
Heck yes. I mean, okay, so think about it from this perspective. I think from what I heard after you and I had the conversation on Twitter about that whole thing, it sounds like the PR person is, oh, did I lose you?
No.
Okay.
No.
You went mute. All right. My computer went dead and I was like, oh no. Okay. It sounds like the PR person who did that is young and inexperienced and thought that they were helping. I don't understand how one would think that calling a customer's employer to get them in trouble for something they put on Twitter is helping, but it happened. And I have not heard, you asked me if you thought that PR person would be fired, and I've not heard if that has happened, but you know, if somebody here did that, even if it was their best intent, my philosophy is you can cost the company money and I'll be forgiving, but if you cost the company reputation, then I'll be ruthless. That's sort of the Warren Buffett philosophy.
Exactly.
So,
that's one of my favorites by him.
Yeah. if you're going to hurt the reputation of our company, even if you didn't mean to, you're probably not going to have a job.
Yeah, makes sense. Now, there's been a lot of Netflix. Also,
yes.
Hired extras to be their thing. Good for the extras because they got paid money, but it was not an authentic move. And did they not think they had enough people that would be woohooing that they were coming?
It sounds like what happened was the ad agency hired extras, actors, because they were shooting a corporate video, and while they were shooting the corporate video, said to the extras, well, go out and talk to people and, you know, tell them what the experience is with Netflix. And some of the people that they talked to happened to be reporters. And when the reporters asked more questions, the actors said, well, we're acting for this video. And so it came out that these actors had been hired. I don't think that they were necessarily hired to talk to reporters, but that's what happened. So the whole transparency in terms of you can't hire actors and ask them to go talk to reporters or even to people on the street about their experience with Netflix. Is it?
Yeah, makes sense. Now, I recently heard something that it, and I have a flip of the coin feeling about it.
Okay.
On the one hand, I think it lacks integrity. On the other hand,
yeah. Okay.
Where I was hearing, you know, that someone had, someone was, they're tweeting for other people, tweeting about other people's events and whatever, and, you know, telling them about their merchandise and whatever, but they're getting paid to do these tweets.
Ugh.
Not the ads, because those are clear. Like, I do those, I'm sorry, you know, hey, they pay me enough. But
right.
I'm not talking about the ones that are clear that it says, this is an ad. Okay, you know, click it if you want, don't if you don't. You know, nothing like that. I'm talking about something that just looks like it's, you're really recommending something, but then you're not telling them you're getting paid for it. Good.
So, let's say, so just to, so I fully understand, let's say that it's mascara and I'm tweeting about this fantastic mascara and it comes out that Dior has asked me to tweet about it for them and
exactly.
is paying me to do that.
Exactly. But I'm not telling anybody I'm getting paid for that.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about transparency, transparency, transparency. And you're right. If you disclose it, it's the same thing with blogging. If you disclose on the blog that you were given this mascara to try and recommend, then it's fine. But
well, actually,
you,
that's required by the FCC.
It is required, and it should be required by on Twitter as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, which is why in the others, you know, that do their stuff, we are required to do the, you know, ad or whatever.
Right, right.
Or when Clout also, when Clout was giving everybody the Virgin trip, whatever, even though they said, oh, you don't have to tell them, you don't have to tell anybody you're getting this and whatever and so forth. You know, to me, it's like, okay, wait a minute, if you're going to talk about Virgin America, even though they weren't, they didn't require it. And stuff, but if you're going to talk about it, then you would have to say, in my
opinion, would have to,
okay, it's, they gave me this trip,
right, right,
so,
right,
otherwise I wouldn't even be talking about them.
Exactly.
So yeah, so it makes, or even like Lone Star, Fox and Clout got together and did a whole big thing for Lone Star, and so they sent people stuff, or you can go to the premiere or whatever, and so people, of course, were tweeting it up like mad and stuff, but then nobody was watching the show, and so they got canceled, but I think there's a lack of ethics involved when people don't say, okay, well, because I got this, I'm tweeting this because I got this. When you're thinking about PR and social media as it is now, do you think we've come to, I believe somebody tweeted out the other day that there had been a study done that content on social media had pretty much plateaued. I don't even know what that means, but do you?
I don't know what that means either.
They thought it had plateaued. I don't know if they think everybody said everything that they need to say or what. Or people are just regurgitating what other people said. I don't know. But that was the thinking the other day. But in terms of social media, how can a company use social media and PR to really escalate with getting their word out?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, you no longer have to rely on the reporter at the New York Times or the reporter at your trade publication or the reporter at Fast Company to tell your story for you. You can tell your story. So we feel like there are four ways that you can use social media. You can use it to build a community of people who care about your business and want to work with you. You can use it to develop value-added content and really push the message out, as long as it's not salesy, as long as it's value add, as long as it's something that provides your community with key learning, education, that kind of thing, training, tutorials, then you can use it to cultivate leads. So really, how do you turn a percentage of your traffic into leads? And then you can use it to convert those leads as well. So it's those four things. It's really building a community, developing value-added content, cultivating leads, and converting those leads.
Okay, final question. Where do you see Gina Dietrich in 5 years?
5 years? I will be living in Colorado, skiing during the winter and cycling during the summer. I will have sold my business by then.
Really? Now
yep.
That's intriguing. Ooh, you heard it here first. Breaking news.
You actually did hear it. I haven't said that out loud, but yep. That's where in 5 years I fully plan on that.
Nice. Okay. And thanks so much, Jeannie, for being here with us
Of
and
course, so fun to
tolerating
talk
our
to
sound effects.
It makes it more fun.
Yes, so this is real life. Thanks so much, Jeannie.
You're welcome.